Today we'd like to see the title of a godly sorrow in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 to 16. To unknown words of people through MP3 or YouTube channel on the earth, we'd like to suggest the three expositional questions. Number one, in the first one, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. What does it mean in the context, and how can we apply it to our lives? Question 2, in verse 2, open your hearts to us. We have wronged no one. We have corrupted no one. We have cheated no one. What does it mean, and what can we learn from here? Question 3, in verse 10, for godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation. Not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. What does it mean, and what can we learn from here? And the last time in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16 through 18, and what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. All the Christians are one body of Christ, one universal holy church on the earth, not unholy ecumenical church. God is holy, and so you should be holy, separated from the world, not isolated from the world, because all Christians are of heaven, not of the world, but in the world. God the Father says we are His sons and daughters, separated from the world. What a beauty! Even if we live in the world, we are of heaven, not of the world. Some Sunday up to Easter church enclosed. First one, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Have the promises in the last chapter 2, verses 16 up to 18. Last chapter 6, verses 16 up to 18. As one universal holy church, number one, separate from the world and don't touch it, the unclean thing. Number two, and then God becomes your father. And then you are God's son and God's daughters. Cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, or all the worldly things, such as the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So let us, number one, turn away from all filthiness, nothing filthy status, and then gave ourselves to God alone with the hope of our just as Him, His image. When we see Him, the perfecting holiness in the holy fear of God or in the awe of God, cross reference right here. First John 2:16, for all that is in the world, the lust of flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of God is not of the Father, but is of the world. First John 3:2-3, Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. As he is. And everyone who has to hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Leviticus chapter 19 verse 2. Speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Verse 2. Open your heart to us. We have wronged no one. We have corrupted no one. We have cheated no one. Paul said he was a true minister of God to you, not a false minister, together with his co-ministers such as Timothy and Titus, not wronging, corrupting, cheating others, nothing for dishonest gain, such as money, power, and glory. Like Moses' public statement, people call us rebels, Samuel's public statement, when he anointed Saul the king, Paul's several statements about manifestation of the truth in the sight of God. Number 2, humbly preaching the gospel free of charge to you. Number 3, not burdening you, but seek you, the bride of Jesus, not your possession. And number 4, let no one think me a fool. Yet if you might think me as a fool, as this statement about me, reserve me as a fool, so that I may boast myself a little. 1 Peter 5, 2, all cross-reference right here, Numbers 16, 15, 1 Samuel 12, 3, 2 Corinthians 4, 2, 2 Corinthians 11, 7 to 9, 2 Corinthians 12, 14, 2 Corinthians 11, 16. So you may read the last verse 11, 16, I say again, let no one think of me a fool. If otherwise, at least you see me as a fool, that I also may boast a little. The meaning here, disciple Paul talk about himself here, right? Himself, right? A little proudly. Commandment number 3, I do not say this to condemn, for I ever said before that you are in our hearts to die together and to live together. The verse 2, which Paul said, is not to put you down, but his heart for you, as he is ready to live with you or to die with you. So extreme love, agape love, you know, expression. Verse 4, great is my boldness of speech toward you, great is my boasting on your behalf. I am filled with comfort, I am exceedingly joyful in all tribulation. I am speaking so boldly and so boasting what God is working to you, that I am comforted and very joyful even in all tribulation to me and other co-ministers together, such as Timothy and Titus. Verse 5, for indeed when we came to Macedonia, our bodies had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Our side were conflict, inside were fears. While Paul was ministering in Troas, God was working, but many troubles were outside, conflicts, and inside of fear. because Titus didn't come back until Paul departed for Macedonia. 2 Corinthians 2:13. I had no rest in my spirit because I did not find Titus, my brother. But taking my leave of them, I departed for Macedonia. Then verse 6. Nevertheless, God who comforts the downcast comforted us by the coming of Titus. Despite many troubles, God comforted the discouraged or depressed Paul in the ministry further by Titus coming back. Here, we tend to elevate those in the Bible to super saint status. But all of these men cleaved to God, were used so mightily by God, and were no different from us, no different nature from us. Elijah, Moses, Jeremiah, or Paul's nature like ours. Right here, close to James 5:17, Elijah was a man of a nature like ours. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. Exodus 4:10-11. Then Moses said to the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech, slow of tongue. So the Lord said to him, Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Jeremiah 1:6-7. Then said our Lord God, Behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, Do not say, I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. 2 Corinthians 6:8-10. By honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as known and yet well on, as dying, and behold, we live, as chastened and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. So, yeah, because of the God, so God is working. Good on verse 7. And not only by his coming, but also by the consolation with which he was comforted in you. When he told us of your earnest desire, your mourning, your zeal for me, so that I rejoiced even more. Paul was comforted, and further, I rejoiced more, not only by Titus coming back, but also he could report about your earnest desire to seek the Lord. Things of the Lord and His word, your mourning of the problems, failure, the weakness of flesh and sins in the first Corinthians epistle, and your much great agape love for Paul. So Paul was comforted, you know. And further, Paul said, I rejoiced more only by Titus coming. So in that way, verse 8, for even if I made you sorry with my letter, I do not regret it, though I did regret it. For I perceive that the same apostle made you sorry, though only for a while. The first epistle to correct or rebuke you, your wrongs, you made you sorry or mourning. The first epistle correct to rebuke your wrongs. That's your wrongs. made you sorry, your wrongs, made you sorry and mourning, that I regretted, past tense, but now I do not regret, because it was a temporary sorry or mourning of the wrongs. Verse 9, now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance, for you were made sorry in a godly manner, that you might suffer loss from us is nothing. Many people are sorry only for the effects of the wrongs without change, but here Corinthians Christians were temporarily sorry or mourning of the wrongs before God, in the consciousness of the present God, in the presence of God, or in a godly manner, not before men, followed by repentance for forgiveness of God, so nothing loss might be for us from the godly sorrow or mourning of the wrong. Not worldly sorrow or fleshy sorrow. Question 3, verse 10. For godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. Repentance is a synonym of regret. Peter and Judas both were sorrow over each wrong against Jesus, followed by repentance or regret. Only difference is a godly manner before God, or in the presence of God, or a flesh manner before man. Peter sorrowed before the Lord and in the consciousness of present Lord was restored to faith and service in growth, progressive salvation or sanctification, while Judas sorrowed before man took his own life, the sorrow of the world resulted in, this is the flesh, the sorrow of a flesh resulting in death. Not a sorrow or a sorry before God, not before man, is crucial, because the human heart is deceitful, desperate, wicked, and so let God alone search our hearts like David. That is a sorrow, sorry, or mourning in the consciousness of the present God is the key. Cross reference Matthew 26, 74, 75, 27, 35, Jeremiah 79, Psalm 139, 23, 24. Verse 11, for observe this very thing, that you sorrow it in a godly manner. What diligence it produces in you, what cleansing of your service, what indignation, what fear, what vehement desire, what zeal, what vindication. In all things, you prove your service to be clear in this matter. After the verse 10, it's observed that, number one, a clearing of the wrong, mistake, or sin issue in your own mind, in your own life. Number two, indignation, great anger against the wrong. Number three, holy fear of an awesome God. Number four, zeal to change accordingly. Number five, forgiveness of the wrong in the presence of Christ through his vindication against Satan, the ruler of the world. This 2 Corinthians cross-reference right here, this whole thing proved, this consequence proved yourself. So what happened? So more like the Jesus as he is pure. Then is verse 12. Therefore, although I wrote to you, I did not do it for the sake of him who had done the wrong, nor for the sake of him who suffered the wrong, but that our care for you in the sight of God might appear to you. Paul wrote this letter not for wrongdoer or for the victim, because Paul and other co-ministers who are God's ministers to you, we are caring for you in the sight of God without wrong or leaven. Galatians 5 and 9, 1 Corinthians 5, 6, 11 leavens the whole lump. That sense. Verse 13. Therefore, we have been comforted in your comfort, and we rejoiced exceedingly more for the joy of Titus, because his spirit had been refreshed by you all. Titus, where you are comforted by the Lord at the ministry, we have been comforted. And we so much rejoiced to see Titus, who was joyful in all of your changed lives like Christ. Then in the verse 14, for if in anything I have boasted to him about you, I am not ashamed, but as we spoke all things to you in truth, even so our boasting to Titus was found true. I am boasting what God is working in you to Timothy, and vice versa. Those are true, not shameful. Amazing the Spirit is working among all his ministers and his sheep. Verse 15, and his affections are greater for you as he remembers the obedience of you all, how with fear and trembling we received him. Titus' love is more abundant toward you as he remembers your obedience to the word of God, delivered by him with fearing and trembling. Verse 16, therefore I rejoice that I have confidence in you in everything. Thus Paul rejoiced upon his confidence in your all things. We covered all three questions. Let's see right here. Continue to keep on praying for the family, the Covenant School community. Is Tennessee and Nashville. Right here is the daughter, you know, that passed away. Was killed, so keep on praying for them. And the Apostle Creed, we meditate. This is a factual statement that is essential over the substance of Christ, you know, essence. This one is based on that. It's all factual, not like unholy ecumenical. This is a book coverage, not all book. So with the published, you know, those books, you know, you may see with others, you may find the website ebook.church. Then is here from Palm Sunday to Easter Sunday, so May, you know, following here. So now it's Friday, Good Friday, then the coming is Sunday is Resurrection Day. So all happened